from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of age." This is the word of the Lord.
Good to welcome Bishop Ken. For anybody who wasn't here on the 25th of January, this man was 25 years a bishop, and we gave him a rambling rector rose.
So remind me of you. Now it's like?
Let's just pray for Bishop Ken as he comes to speak. Lord God, thank you that this is not a rambling rector, but we thank you that this is a man who loves your word, and he has got something really beautiful to share with us today. So Lord, we ask that we would hear the voice of God today in this sermon, and that we would be led to live more in accordance with how you want us to live. Lord God, thank you for who you are, and thank you for all you have to say to us. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's always a privilege to preach, and especially here in Dollingstown and Marilyn. Thank you for coming this morning. And there's a few people, and I want to say a special thank you to you for staying, because there's one over there. Because usually when they come into the church and they discover I'm preaching, they head out again to head home. So thank you for your generosity and your patience. And somebody said to me this morning, "Oh, I see you're wearing that Taylor Swift microphone this morning. You must be preaching." Well, I'm certainly not going to sing like Taylor Swift or dance like Taylor Swift, that's for sure. But what I do want us to think about for a few minutes this morning is what you'll see on the screen, DBC. Now, I wonder what DBC stands for. Possibilities, Dollingstown Brave Cubs? No. Dollingstown Bash Column? No. All sorts of things. Well, it's nothing to do with anything like that. It's really to summarize what the sermon is about this morning, and it's about discipleship, baptism, and confirmation. And some of you now are having yawning, thinking, "Oh, how boring." Well, I wonder, is it as boring as some people think? I mean, isn't it interesting that the whole subject of baptism has been surrounded with all kinds of misunderstandings as well as understandings? Traditions, like when I was growing up, it was just the accepted norm that little babies would be baptized if they were Church of Ireland or in some other traditions. Whereas it's not so common now, but it still happens. And it happened for a lot of people, and they didn't really think about it or what was going on. It was just a tradition, didn't make any difference. And indeed, you've probably heard the old story of a church, or a business, that had a problem with bats up on the tower of the building they were in, and they couldn't get rid of the bats. And the local rector said, "Don't you worry, we'll sort them out for you. We'll just baptize them and confirm them, and then they'll be gone." And sadly, that is not just a joke. That is true. That is often what happened. I remember when I was bishop in Kilmore, somebody said to my wife one Sunday when I was doing a confirmation, "Oh, they're getting confirmed because they want to leave the church." Now, that was actually said. That is a total misunderstanding of what confirmation is all about. And yet, that was around in the minds of some people. I think one of my favorite baptism stories, and some of you have heard me tell this before, is of the rector who was so nervous because for the first time in his life, he was baptizing twins. And it was a little boy and a little girl. And the wee girl was called Kate, and the wee boy was called Sydney. And the poor rector was so nervous. Do you know what he baptized them? Kate, a steak and kidney. Instead of instead of Kate and Sydney. Now, you would never forget that if you'd been at that service, I guarantee. But first of all, let's look at the discipleship. If we could just move on to the next slide, please. We've just had these wonderful words read to us from the end of Matthew, some of the last words that Jesus ever spoke. And Jesus couldn't make it clearer that if we are his followers, his vision is that we go, number one. Number two, we do what? Make disciples of all nations, nobody excluded. People everywhere, right across the world, including Donningstown and Marilyn. Thirdly, what do we do? Baptize. Fourthly, teach. Teach them what? What Simon says, what Stuart says? Well, it depends what they say. If what they say is what Jesus is teaching, yes, we do it. And it's so clear what Jesus has said. I mean, it is not difficult to understand. We are to go, we are to make disciples. A lot of the Bible commentators say that the primary verb in this is make disciples. It's a top priority. And if you think back to when Jesus first called those fishermen to follow him, do you remember what he said? Follow me and I will what? I will make you fishers of men. Now, I have met the occasional young woman who loves those words because she thinks the door's going to open for a young man. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Well, that's not what it means. That is a total misunderstanding of what it means. But Jesus made it clear right from the beginning that he is calling us not only to follow him, but to be involved in working out his vision, his mission of making disciples. And we do that by listening, learning, loving, serving, obeying, abiding, living close to Jesus. That's our top priority. And that's one of the secrets. As we live close to Jesus, inevitably we make disciples because people see something of Jesus in us. And when they don't, we want to ask, why not? And Jesus also makes it clear that as we are his disciples, we are to follow the Great Commission. Next slide. Not as how some people interpret it, the Great Omission. And you know as well as I do that there are some churches and they just simply know nothing about making disciples. They honestly aren't concerned about reaching out to anybody. Because that particular church, and I've been in some, it's like a little private club where we just help each other, and that may not even happen. We may just turn up on a Sunday and be there for what some people call hatch, match and dispatch. You know what that is, don't you? Hatch, infant baptism, match, getting married, dispatch, the funeral will be there. And that's what some people see the church as, nothing more. Not as a community of followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, who have a passion for making disciples and reaching out to people, who have a passion for growing. Just look at this next slide, and this is something I want to ask us to ask ourselves this morning. Jesus has called us to be his disciples. He has called us to make disciples. But we need to ask ourselves frequently, am I growing as a disciple of Jesus? Isn't it fascinating in our culture today in 2026? A lot of people are almost obsessed with growing, or certainly passionate about growing. Either growing muscles, so we join the gym, or we do workouts or whatever. We want to grow big muscles so that we as men look like Mr. Universe. For others, it's actually growing less. And so we're in the culture of jabs. Isn't that right? Getting the injections to grow less, to grow thinner, to grow fitter as well. Look at Stephen Nolan. Look at the weight he has lost. And how has it happened? Well, he tells us frequently, doesn't he? And that is a top priority in the lives of many, many people today, growing more muscular, growing fitter, growing slimmer. But if we profess to be disciples of Jesus, have we a passion for growing more like Jesus? Growing more and more as his disciples, going deeper with him, growing stronger with him. And thank God, you and I have the privilege of being part of a church and a parish where our leadership are encouraging us frequently to grow stronger, go deeper. And I'm thankful for that, that we're in a parish that's about depth, going deeper with Jesus, not following at a distance from Jesus. A leadership that's encouraging us towards intimacy with Jesus, not isolation, not staying far away, but growing closer. So that you'll be like the person my wife told me about years ago, who said that when she died, what I want to hear from Jesus is that the conversation just continues, as you were saying, as we were saying. And wouldn't that be a beautiful way to die? That the conversation with Jesus just continues, because we're living close with him, being a disciple. So here's one of the key questions for this morning. Am I growing as a disciple of Jesus? Am I living as a disciple of Jesus? Am I serving as a disciple of Jesus? Or am I a spectator? Or am I a player on the pitch? What is God calling some of us to? Some areas of service and ministry. Well, it's up to us to seek his face and his guidance on that. Am I growing as a disciple of Jesus? A really vital ingredient in any growth process is obedience. And that's one of the many reasons why followers of Jesus are baptized. Because in those words from Matthew 28, Jesus makes it absolutely clear that baptism is a top priority. And I wonder, especially those of us who've maybe been Church of Ireland all our lives, if somebody said to us, why do you baptize babies in the Church of Ireland? What would we say? Or why do you have baptisms at all in the Church of Ireland? What would we say? Or why do you have confirmation? Why is the bishop rolled in and hands are laid on all these people in the service of, what is that all about? And if somebody asked us that, I wonder what our answer would be. I'm not going to go around with the roving mic now. Forget about the Taylor Swift mic. I'm not going to go around with the roving mic now and ask you how you would answer, but it'd be fascinating, wouldn't it, to hear what we all think, because there are a lot of misunderstandings, as I've said. But just before I share some thoughts about baptism and confirmation that I hope would help us in giving an answer, could I just say this? Look at the next slide. In the church worldwide, there are issues where we are all totally united. And there are issues where we see things differently. And that's okay. For example, in some traditions, and you know some, the ladies who were all sitting here this morning would be wearing hats. Most of the ladies that I don't think I see one hat here this morning. But in some churches, all the ladies would be wearing hats, no matter what age you are. Now, is that a fundamental thing, or is that a supplemental thing? The answer is, it's a supplemental. In other words, different Christians will see things different ways. It's exactly the same with infant baptism. For example, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, Church of Ireland, have a practice of infant baptism. The Baptists don't. And that's okay, because there are differences of opinion, and we maybe will have different understandings from the teaching of the Bible. But there are things in which we are totally united. So why I'm saying this is simply because let's not make this an issue of division, because it's a secondary issue. And also the mode of baptism, how somebody is baptized. You know as well as I do that some say, oh, it's not a proper baptism if you lay a wee bit in the top. No, if you're going to be baptized, you have to go, the tank is here in this building, you have to go in and under and come up again. It's what some call total immersion. And if you've never been totally immersed, you haven't been baptized. Differences of opinion. The Church of Ireland position is, the Church of Ireland plays safe on this. And we have both. And that surprises a lot of people. Because some people say, oh, the Church of Ireland doesn't believe in total immersion. That's rubbish. In the Church of Ireland, for a baptism, you can have the little bit on top and the sign of the cross on your forehead, or you can go the whole way. Be soaked from top to bottom, literally. And if you have hair, it gets wet too, unlike me. And you grab your nose usually, don't you? And down and up and under. And it was wonderful to have some total immersion baptisms here recently. Thrilling. But it was also wonderful to have a baby baptized here recently with just a little bit in the top. That's okay. And that's what we believe, that Scripture allows for both. So what I want to do now is just, having made clear that this is to be our model for life, I believe this is the biblical position, that in things that are fundamental, we have total unity. In things that are supplemental, we have liberty. In other words, we see things different ways. In all things, what do we have? Charity. We are to love Jesus, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the bottom line. So, next slide. Just a couple of things about baptism. Why is baptism so important? Well, number one, it's a command. Jesus has commanded it. So there isn't a choice about that. If we claim to be disciples of Jesus and we want to obey him, then we get baptized. And if you haven't been baptized and you are a Christian, please, I plead with you, go for it. Whether it's either total immersion or the little bit on the forehead. Be baptized. Why? Not because Ken Clark says it or Simon Juneau says it or Stuart says it, but because Jesus says it. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if you haven't been baptized, have a word with Stuart or Simon and let's start that journey with you. Top priority. That's the most important reason why we have baptism, because it's a command of Jesus. Secondly, covenant. Now that's a big word for a Sunday morning, covenant. A covenant is a really strong word, so it is. And in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, we read about covenants and covenant relationships. And covenants in the Bible are initiated by God. They're not our idea, they're God's idea. And God initiates a covenant, an agreement, often sealed with blood, with, Jim Packer says, with humanity. It could be with like an individual like Abraham. Do you remember? Read the book of Genesis. See the covenant that God made with Abraham. And he said, Abraham, you're going to be one of my people. I will be your God. You will be my people. And that has never changed. When God makes a covenant promise to somebody, you can trust it 200%. Not like, and no offense to any salesman or saleswoman here, have you ever had a promise made by somebody selling something and then the promise isn't kept? Now please, there are many wonderful salesmen and saleswomen, don't misunderstand me. But isn't it awful when somebody makes you a promise and doesn't keep it? That does not happen with our God. He is a covenant-making God, and he is in a covenant relationship with his people. So that's another reason why we have baptism, because it's an expression of a covenant relationship, and this is where maybe Christians, some disagree, it includes children. The Bible makes it so clear that when God made a covenant with Abraham, not only was there a sign of the covenant for Abraham, in his 90s he was circumcised as an outward physical sign of this covenant, but the children, the baby boys were as well. from then on. And that is still to this day in the Jewish religion. Boys 8 days old are circumcised. Why? Because that's what has happened since the covenant was made with Abraham all those years ago, practiced for centuries. And that's why in the Church of Ireland and Methodists and Presbyterians we have the baptism of infants, because it's the baptism of the children of believers. Promises have been made by their parents and the godparents, expressing faith in Jesus, repentance, true discipleship. And on that understanding, then, the children of believers are in a special relationship with God. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and you'll see that the children of believers are described as holy, set apart. There's something special. And then some people say, but why have the baptism of a little baby when the baby can't understand? Well, my question to someone like that is, why then did God ask for the baby boys to be circumcised? They didn't understand. Only a few days old. But it was what God wanted as a sign of this covenant relationship. And that, for me, is one of the primary reasons for the baptism of infants who are infants of believers. So, baptism, moving swiftly on. Yes, next, please. In confirmation, where does confirmation come from? What is it all about? Well, John Stott, I think, has these two very helpful points about confirmation. What we do when we're being confirmed and what God does. And that's the more important thing. But for those being confirmed, we are a people who are repenting, we're believing, we're surrendering afresh to Jesus as Lord of our lives. And if we have been baptized, we're renewing our baptismal vows to follow him. Because remember, baptism is about repentance, believing, surrendering all to Jesus. We want to give him our all. The water symbolizes the cleansing, the forgiveness of our sins. We are new people. As they say in Belfast, a new man, a new woman. That's who we are in Christ. And the water is the symbol of the cleansing that has taken place, God's forgiveness. So what we're doing in being confirmed is we are repenting and believing. Just have a read at the confirmation service sometime, because we are asked direct questions and we're making absolutely clear that we are disciples of Jesus. What does God do? He confirms and strengthens us in the Holy Spirit. That's what God does. He anoints us afresh with his Holy Spirit. And it's expressed through the laying on of hands. And in our tradition, the bishop will come in a confirmation service and will lay hands on people. He, if you like, is representative of the church worldwide. And these people are being released into ministry, strengthened by the Holy Spirit for whatever God is calling them into. And it's a privilege. And again, I would say, if you haven't been confirmed, why not think about it? Simon's already announced Easter Sunday evening there's going to be a special confirmation service with Bishop David McClay here. Why not go for it if you've never been confirmed? Nail our colours to the mast. Let's not be ashamed about it. If you like, it's a public testimony to our desire to be disciples of Jesus. Next slide, please. And I'm not going to go through all of this, but it's just to show you in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, we learn a lot about the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is used for blessing. For example, Jacob laid his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh as a sign of God's blessing on their lives. The passing of divine favor, prophetic destiny. Commissioning and authority, often the laying on of hands. Do you remember Moses laid his hands on Joshua as succeeding him as the leader? In Acts 6:6, the apostles laid their hands on the first deacons, laying on of hands, sending them out to serve. And 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul reminding Timothy that spiritual gifts were given to him through the laying on of hands. Thirdly, healing. Look at how often in the Gospels Jesus laid his hands on people and they were healed. Dramatically, suddenly, hallelujah. And thirdly, or fourthly, sorry, in part, strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in the New Testament, we have examples of some who were believers, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit in power, in fullness, in a new way. And hands were laid on them, and wow, they came alive. Some began speaking in tongues. So there's a wonderful biblical precedent for the laying on of hands. So we're following in that tradition. Next slide, please, to wind up. I find it fascinating. You remember the DVC we started with? The D was not Dollingstown, but discipleship. Isn't it fascinating that in the baptism service and in the confirmation service, we read about discipleship? Do you remember in the baptism service in the Church of Ireland, after we are signed with the sign of the cross, what does the minister say? Live as disciples of Christ. There it is. Live as disciples of Christ. And in the confirmation service, the bishop says to the congregation, what? It will be our responsibility as a church to encourage the newly confirmed in what? In their discipleship. So baptism and confirmation are all about being a disciple of Jesus, obeying Jesus. Last slide, please. Here is the question again I ask. Am I growing? And is part of my growth in the next phase to be baptized if I haven't been baptized? To be confirmed if I haven't been confirmed? Maybe to offer some for some area of ministry in the church I've been holding back, but God wants me to serve. That's a vital part of being a disciple of Jesus. We want to be part of the divine commission of making disciples, teaching people what Jesus has commanded, equipping others for works of ministry, doing what God has called us to do, and being the disciples he has called us to be. Let's go for it, folks. We've been watching, many of us, the Winter Olympics, haven't we? Hasn't the curling been amazing? Just incredible. But you know, those athletes, and I don't think I'll ever forget the disappointment of the GB men's team last night in not winning the gold. They were going for gold, and they were giving their best. They got silver. They still did so well, but they wanted the gold. Let's be learn from athletes like that and go for God's best, his gold. Let's go for it. Musicians and singers, come forward just as I pray. Let's pray. Just before we sing All Hail King Jesus, let's just really think about what the Lord has been saying to us this morning. There will be prayer ministry at the end of our service, as always, and maybe the Lord has just been prompting us about something in our lives, and this would be the right time to come forward for prayer. Or maybe the Lord has been prompting us about being baptized or confirmed or offering for some area of service. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you will guide each one of us, and I know you will, as we seek your will for our lives. Lord, we want to be men and women who don't just know about you, but we want to be men and women who follow you wholeheartedly, who give you our best, and who do what you command. So in the power of your Holy Spirit, anoint us and use us as you will. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.